presenting Hop Harrigan, America's Ace of the Airways.
X4 calling control tower. The X4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower, back to the X4. Wind southeast, ceiling 1200. All clear.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan coming in.
Yes, it's America's Ace in the Airways. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
Say, gang, with all the top news in the aircraft industry centering on new planes with high speeds and long ranges, I haven't had much time to talk about some of the other scientific developments. You may have read about some of the new electronic marvels that have come out recently, new radio and radar equipment, all designed to make the plane of tomorrow safer. As you know, one of the big headaches in modern aviation has been weather. When the rain's pouring down or the field is closed in by low-hanging clouds, most scheduled flights have to be called off. And it's a plain nuisance for passengers when they can't land at their destination because the weather's bad. Such situations just have to be licked before the airlines can make their trips perfect. Trains are the fastest way of getting anywhere today, but it doesn't mean a thing unless the traveler knows he's going to land where he wants to. A lot of testing and experimenting has been going on since way back before the war on automatic landings, and little by little, the links in the chain are being put together. The Sperry Gyroscope Company has developed many of these links. Instruments such as the gyropilot, the automatic approach control, and the automatic airspeed control. These three especially make it possible for a pilot to do a hands-off act. The plane can approach the field and start landing with the pilot hardly touching the controls at all. All he has to do is push a switch every once in a while. And these amazing automatic instruments do the rest. The way it works is out of this world, and in just a few minutes I'll be back to tell you all about it. So don't forget to listen. And now to our story. Its engines thundering a mighty song of power, a massive DC-4 cargo transport roars through an overcast night sky, carrying six men to a deadly rendezvous. The riddle of the ghostly Avengers is near a solution, and Hop and Tank, aided by Inspector Fry of the New Orleans police, are trying to force the hand of the hidden enemy. Now the trap is ready to be sprung. As the inspector confronts the three owners of the Ace Flying Service, Paul Conroy, Bert Craig, and Vinnie Stevens, demanding a confession from the guilty one, suddenly the ghostly shape of a wartime Jap fighter plane is seen emerging from a heavy cloud layer. Bathed in an eerie greenish glow, it turns into the course of the transport, making a head-on attack, and as the two ships race toward each other, Hop makes a strange decision.
We'll see how ghostly that plane is. Keep your eyes open, fellas. We're going to fly straight through it.
Terror-stricken, the occupants of the plane see Hop jam the throttles wide open and hold a steady course for the rapidly approaching fighter. Inspector Fry stands quietly by, watching them all.
What's the matter with you boys? You're not afraid of ghosts, are you?
It's not a ghost. It's real. Harrigan, pull up!
Big snake, Hop, what are you doing?
Shut up and sit tight.
Inspector, make him pull up. He'll kill us.
Why, Craig? Don't you think it's a ghost?
I don't know. I don't want to take any chances.
Please, Harrigan, you know what happened to me. Please, pull up.
Hop, you can't do this.
Harrigan, he's right. Pull up.
Pull up!
Now, murderer.
Hey, listen.
Now it is my turn. And the Soldano talking.
Soldano!
I'm coming.
No! Look, Anthony, you can't!
That's who it is. Soldano, the man who was killed in the last crash.
I'll get you just the way you got me.
No! No, Harrigan, pull up!
Why, Craig, it's only a ghost. We'll go right through it.
We won't! He'll crash into us. He'll explode and we'll burn. Pull up! Pull up!
Okay.
It'll be close. Hang on.
We cleared. We're okay.
Good work, Hop. Even hit that pole line.
Where's the glider? Watch for it.
Behind it. Still holding course.
Okay, going around.
Hank, you see the Lockheed?
Yeah, putting course.
But 200 feet up.
Keep your eyes on it. Paul, you watch the glider.
The glider?
Yeah, the Jap plane's a glider.
But I don't get the question, Conroy. Do as he says.
Yes, sir.
I don't understand. What's going on?
I think Mr. Craig will explain.
First.
How about it?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Like fun, you don't.
How'd you know it would explode? How'd you know we'd burn if we hit it?
Well, I...
Come on out with it. I want the whole story.
I don't know any story.
Yes, you do. You know everything because you're behind all this. You're the one who's been trying to ruin the 8th Airline.
Bert?
Paul, keep your eyes on that glider.
You're out of your mind, Inspector.
You and Martin worked together. He flew the Lockheed and towed the glider. You gave the schedules and positions of your plane.
It's a lie. A pack of lies.
You were the only one who could have arranged everything. Craig, you're under arrest on a charge of murder.
You can't pin anything on me. It might have been Vinny.
Bert, what's the matter with you?
Oh, it's Paul.
That's what it was.
Paul.
Bert, you're out of your mind.
Craig, it was you. You were going to take over the airline yourself.
No. No, you can't prove it. You can't.
Don't run away, Craig. There's nowhere to go.
You're not going
to
frame me.
Bert, wait.
He slammed the bulkhead door.
What do you think he's doing?
Conroy, help me.
Come up and glide
him. I'll watch it.
Lend a hand, Conroy.
Coming, sir.
Can't you open it?
No. Come on. Speed again.
Hey, sir.
Hey, open up, Craig.
Doesn't matter. He can't get away.
How about a parachute?
I don't know. Is there any back there, Paul?
I don't think so.
Yes, there are, in the locker behind the bulkhead.
But that's what he's up to.
Heads up. The glider starts to kick around.
Uh-oh. Hold still back there. This may be a little rough.
What's going on?
I don't know yet.
Me, like
Mark,
trying to get rid of it.
He's
trying to shake it loose.
Something must be wrong with the
tow line
release.
Hey, watch it. We're getting awful close.
Mark must have throttled back.
You better, too. We're right on top of the glider.
I'll cut over it.
Hey, Hop.
Yeah.
Bert, just over the rear cargo door.
Oh, great. Everything's happening all at once.
Harrigan, you'll get away.
Can't help it. I'm trying to keep us from crashing into the Lockheed.
What's that?
Did we hit it?
No.
The glider exploded.
Great Scott. Look, tank. Look.
Oh, my gosh.
What is it?
What happened?
Craig, when he bailed out, he jumped and it was right over the glider.
Landed on top of it when it started to burn.
Oh, no. You caught fire. There. He hit the ground.
I just heard what you said, Sinker.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I watched him all the way. Don't have to worry about him no more.
Wait a minute. What's the matter with Martin?
Hey.
Hey, Harvey, he's still waltzing all over the sky.
I don't understand.
Better stay clear.
No, don't worry, I am.
Isn't that a fire behind the tail of the
tank? Yeah, it's the tow line burning right into the ship.
They should be able to put it out.
But it isn't working.
The cabin's burning.
Better bail out.
Too late. They hit the gas tank.
There he goes, straight down.
Didn't he get out?
No.
I was trapped inside the cabin.
Well, looks like this case is all washed up.
Yes, Inspector. At last, the riddle of the ghostly Avengers is solved.
Holding the DC-4 transport in a wide circle, Hop watches the flaming wreckage of the Lockheed plummet into the ground, not far from Bert Craig's lifeless body. Yes, the riddle has been solved, and the two men behind the entire scheme have met a strange justice. Literal death by their own hands. Gang will bring you the exciting climax of today's episode in just a moment, so stand by. Now, gang, let's talk some more about those automatic landings I told you about at the beginning of today's Hop Harrigan. Let's imagine we're in a plane equipped with all the up-to-date gadgets for landing automatically. There's a pilot with us in the cabin because he has to push the switches which make the controls work, but that's about all he does. We're approaching the field now, and he picks up the landing system signal. He looks at his charts and finds the plane is 12 miles from the airport. This signal follows a path right down the center of the runway, straighter than any line you or I could draw. Next, the pilot flips a panel switch to a spot marked localizer. That means the plane's controls have picked up the signal, too. Now the ship swings all by itself toward the field and follows the path straight toward the runway. All of this is done by the automatic approach control. Now comes the automatic airspeed control, one of the newest of the self-landing instruments. The pilot cuts down the approach speed of the plane by lowering the wheels and flaps. Then he pushes another switch. Once he does that, the throttles make their own power adjustments, and the approach speed is kept down mechanically by the new control device. When the glide path signal comes, the pilot works another switch, marked approach. Again, without any more moves by the pilot, the ship starts going down, gliding toward the end of the runway. The only thing the pilot has to do is actually land the ship. That's nothing once it's right at the landing strip. When the plane settles just above the runway, the pilot grabs the wheel and presses a release button, which turns off the automatic controls. Then he brings his ship to a perfect landing. Just another in America's new flood of aircraft wonders, all designed to make flying better and safer for everyone. And always remember, America needs flyers. And now back to our story. It is late the next morning. Hop, Tank, Inspector Fry, and the two remaining partners of the Ace Flying Service, Paul and Vinny, are back in New Orleans in the small airline operations office. Vinny is still puzzled.
You still haven't explained those voices, Harrigan. how we could hear the jet pilots and then Soldano.
Oh, that was a little trick we rigged up to try and scare Craig. Using his own trick, that scared you.
Well, what was it?
I said, a wire recorder, packed away in one of the crates amidships. Again, the timing was figured out right down to the second. Started the same time Martin was supposed to show up with a ghost plane.
Yeah, it was a darn good idea, too. Scared the heart out of me the first time I heard it.
Well, we checked the plane before we took off last night, found the recorder, and nearly made a new one. Craig himself had made all the others.
But I don't understand how you could have been so sure it was Bert. After all, I broke, too, when we saw that Jap fighter. I was more scared, as a matter of fact.
Well, frankly, Stevens, we were fairly certain all along that Craig was guilty.
And you had a darn good reason to be scared.
Craig's reaction was very strange. He was too scared not to have known something.
Which he did, of course.
Then you set up this whole flight as a trap?
Yes.
Well, why didn't you tell me?
Frankly, Paul, we were a little suspicious of you.
Of me?
Not for long, but do you remember answering the phone here in the office last night, not getting any answer?
Why, yes.
Well, not 10 minutes before, we heard Martin talking to someone, obviously his boss. When we called and you answered,
you could have knocked us over with a feather, I can imagine.
When we found out it was this office number, we were fairly certain it was a coincidence. But we'd made all our plans, so we decided not to change them.
And you actually saw the gliders Martin had been towing?
Yes, in a barn, near that airstrip we saw, remember, Paul?
But you said you ran out of the barn without seeing anybody.
But I was to keep Craig from getting suspicious.
And Vinny.
Me? Yes, yes, Stevens. You were on the list, too, for a while.
So we crossed you off when we added up the timetables. You couldn't have made the phone calls to Inspector Fry, tipping him off about Moran, the mechanic. You were in the hospital at the time.
Well, who did murder him, Craig or Martin? You might say both. Martin did it under Craig's direction. Well, it's all over now. Let's forget it.
Paul, what about the airline?
Well, we'll keep on plugging and try to build it up again.
I have enough dough to keep us rolling, I think. And once the true story gets out, I'll bet we'll get all our old customers back.
Sure you will.
Well, Hop, I don't know how to thank you for all you've done.
Forget it. Inspector Fry did most of the work.
Don't pass the buck. This was your idea, and you know it. Oh, and Harrigan, Remember what I said about playing detective?
Yeah, and you're right. We get into too much trouble.
No, not at all. I was going to take it all back. You can play detective around here any time you want.
Oh, thanks.
Have we finished handing out the bouquets?
Yes, I guess so, Tinker. Why?
Because I ain't had nothing to eat since last night. Let's tie on the feedback.
Relax now that the pressure is off. The boys leave the office of the Ace Flying Service, and after a meal which satisfies even Tank's enormous appetite, they take off in the beach, heading back to Lakeville. Meanwhile, far to the south, in the Mexican province of Yucatan, a man and a boy are digging in the ruins of an old Mayan city. Suddenly the man straightens up, stares at a wall covered with a strange, exotic design, and turns to the boy.
My son, this is what we've been looking for. Remember this place. Remember these ruins. For on this wall is a secret which would change the destiny of the world.
But even as he speaks, a group of men watch him carefully from a nearby ridge. And the leader, a man whose olive-skinned face is marked by a livid red scar running from ear to mouth, issues an order.
They have found it. They know the secret. It must die with them.
Gang, this is only the beginning of a new mystery, one that will keep you on the edge of your seats. So don't miss the first exciting episode. Tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. Star on Hop. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed, copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine.